Hola and welcome back to Voice Memos. On this episode, I am finally excited to talk about the Instagram.com project, which is an indie web project I've been working on for the last month or two. And yeah, I want to talk about like my inspiration to make it, my manifesto and ideas behind it, and what I want to see out of it in the coming months or the future of the project. So, if you've been interested and curious about the indie web, or you're frustrated with how social media and the current state of the internet is, stick around and we'll get into it. All right, the Instagram. So, I've been building this website. It took me about 2 weeks, I would say, to really build like a solid version 1.0. And recently I deployed version 2.0, which had some more sophisticated use of APIs and a little more technical stuff. A lot of my initial 1.0 was just hard coded. So I wanted to make it more dynamic, so just for ease of maintenance, honestly. But what the Instagram is, I should back up and talk about that. It is basically a shell for my WordPress blog. And why I say that is because I am not a back-end developer at all. So what I built is a different view, a front-end website that can host the pictures that I take on my Kodak Digicam. So I bought this Kodak pink camera. I think I talked about this part. Off of Poshmark, actually, for about $20 or maybe less than that. I made a cute little camera strap for it with beads that says 123 cheese, and basically completely head over heels for the Pinterest, Instagram trend to get a Digicam, which is any digital camera that is like junk, basically. Any digital camera that is not modern, that can't like take 4K. This can actually take 720 a video. So pretty impressive. I think this came out in like 2008, I want to say. Yeah, and the main reason I bought this model was A, it's not like super overhyped. You would not believe the prices on some of these old ass cameras. Over $100 for like a Cybershot, a Sony Cybershot. And I'm telling you, like it's just as good as this, honestly. I mean, maybe it's got a few different specs, but what I wanted was just like the nostalgia, right? That's why people are buying Digicams nowadays, is pure nostalgia, trying not to use your phone as much. And this thing was a hassle to get set up, honestly. Like, it didn't come with an SD card, and then I had to order a 2 GB SD card because it doesn't take anything bigger than that. So that was weird, first off. And I thought I could just use the internal memory, and I tried to buy a cord to connect it to my computer, but I just think the connections were like, it must have been some kind of specific cord because I thought I got the right micro or mini USB, but I did not. So, my advice, if you get one of these, just get your own SD card. And I had to buy new batteries for it. So, it was just so much effort to get this thing up and running. But I have it and I love it. And it's very cute on my shelf when I'm not using it. So, it makes me want to like keep it in view because you know what? You buy these things. And if you tuck it into a drawer, you're never going to use it again. So I like to keep it on my shelf where I can remember, like, oh yeah, I want to go out and take a walk and take some pictures. And so that's been really great. The reason I brought it up before, and I haven't been able to talk about the whole website, but the reason I brought it up before was for that zine I made, which was the punch card challenge. And I did that for 2 months in a row. Very successfully. It kept me motivated to go on photography walks, to make art, to read before bed, all of these healthy habits. But anyway, whole tangent. So I bought the camera, right? But because I'm extra, it wasn't enough for me to just post the pictures to my blog. I wanted to create a website completely dedicated to the pictures I take with the camera. And, you know, I was getting the itch, right? Like, probably once a year, at least, I get the itch to code up something new. Last year, it was my zine land, angelageorge.com/zineland, and that site hosts all of my zines. And again, it's a similar concept where it's a static site, but everything links back to my blog. Because the blog's very easy. It's WordPress. I've been using it for years. So I'm not going to, like, blog on separate sites. Basically, they're all just, if I was starting over, that's what it would look like, if that makes sense. The reason I keep doing this, I think it's because it's hard for me to just fully commit to one aesthetic. And this is one of my pet peeves about social media, but they always say, like, find your niche. You have to be specific. You have to, like, create a brand. It has to be cohesive. I'm a multifaceted person. So when I, like, start a new hobby or, like, get inspired by a different artist or something I saw, like, I feel like I completely shift to mirror what is inspiring me. And I want my aesthetic to shift with that. And so that's why I, like, create these subsites, because I can just have my clean blog that's mostly text. It's just a good, clean template. There's a little bit of flair where I can put it, but it's mostly just a black and white website, right? And then these little side projects that link back to the blog, that's where I can use my full creativity and launch, like, a mini brand that encapsulates that project. So my zine land is very, like, punky, and, like, I used the font, if you're familiar with Google Fonts, I used the font Barrio, so it's very, like, grungy and handmade looking, and kind of, like, newspaper clippings was my, like, inspiration. And then I used this, like, bright yellow, which yellow is just never something I go for, but with the zine land, I just had this idea for black and yellow, and I love it. I go back to that site. I frequently, well, not as frequently as I should, but I update it with, like, the latest zines that I've made or zines that I found online that I want to include in the curated section. And every time I go back, I love it. I'm like, I love what I did with this site. I don't want to change anything. And in my mind, it's its own separate project. And so that's what the Instagram is to me, too, is it's another little mini brand, a hub of my photography that I take with the Kodak EasyShare Digicam, right? So, yeah. And then I want to talk about, like, more about how I built it and more of the inspiration behind it. So this subsite, Zineland, is hosted inside of my WordPress server. And my dad is awesome. He is my, like, web admin, basically. So he made it possible for me to just upload mini projects onto my WordPress site. And they just become subsites, literal subsites of angelageorge.com. So that's why it's angelageorge.com/zineland. And I hope this doesn't get too technical, but I have to get into it so I can explain, like, why this the Instagram is such a different idea and a different structure. So with Zineland, it is a subdirectory in my WordPress site, which means you can find it at angelageorge.com/zineland. You're accessing basically a folder that has that HTML and CSS. And I did not code it in pure HTML and CSS. Most of my projects are built with React. But React is just a framework for HTML and CSS and JavaScript. So basically, once you export it, it is just a index.html file that is pointing to everything and running the whole website. There's that. That's Zineland. The Instagram.com I am running on my own server that has nothing to do with angelageorge.com. Besides accessing the APIs from WordPress that let me pull in certain blog posts. And that was a huge, like, step for me, because this subsite system that I have is kind of a shortcut where I don't have to like find somewhere to host my website because I already have a website. So I just host it in the same folder that the website's in, and it just becomes a sub URL of my website. And I could have done that with the Instagram. It could have been angelageorge.com/theinstagram, right? And that would have worked fine, except I wanted to try making my own server and my own domain. I wanted to get a new domain for it so it would be its own. So that's why this one's theinstagram.com. And even bigger of a step for me is I remembered I had this Raspberry Pi that I got for Christmas. If you're not technical, Raspberry Pi is a tiny computer, like probably about as big as a phone, a little bit thicker once you put like the casing on it. But yeah, it's just a tiny computer. And I realized I could use that to host my own website. And that's how they used to do it in the 90s, like right when the internet came out. People's websites weren't hosted at Amazon or on Squarespace or whatever. They were hosted at their houses, in their homes, just on a computer. And so I thought to myself, if I really was going to fully dive into the indieverse and like make my own corner of the internet, I could host that corner in a physical space in my closet, and I wouldn't be like owned by Amazon or any of these big server companies, hosting companies. I wouldn't have to pay them anything. I'm already paying for fucking internet, okay? Like, and I already had the technology. I already had the Raspberry Pi and the know-how on how to make a website. I will admit, disclaimer, I did ask ChatGPT to help me figure it all out at first, because it's overwhelming to dig into how to kickstart your own web server, but that sped it up a lot for me. And I will also say, do not use ChatGPT to do this if you have no idea what it's telling you, because I have gone down that rabbit hole where I started using ChatGPT to help me debug something or explain something to me that I had no knowledge of. And once you start implementing what it says, you realize it was making shit up and you can't fact check it. So you have to use it in scenarios where you can fact check it easily, where you can confirm it knows what it's talking about, because it most of the time doesn't. ChatGPT helped me speed through setting up the web server, and it just felt like a big win to host my own site, get it all set up on my own, and I don't have to pay anything except like the small fee for my domain name. And the domain name was kind of interesting because some of the more reputable companies, they did not want to sell me the Instagram.com because it's too similar to Instagram, right? They thought I would be using it for nefarious purposes, to like make a fake Instagram and steal people's login info. First off, do not control what I'm doing with my domain name. Like, that is for the authorities to do. I hate it when companies do this like overstep where they're like, oh, we're going to now enforce the law. Like, you don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'm using it for pure artistic expression. It has nothing to do with Instagram. And there's no way to even upload your own pictures to my site. It's just my site. So that was a very interesting hurdle that I hadn't even thought about. And at first I did want Instagram.com, but I think it is taken and it's like millions of dollars because that one is way too similar to Instagram. So I did the Instagram, and I could have done the Instagram project, but the Instagram just, it sounds cooler. It rolls off the tongue better. And so check, check, right? I have it set up on a Raspberry Pi server in my closet, and I have a domain name that routes to it. And at that point, the website was just a plain white page that said, welcome, okay? I hadn't done any fancy coding or anything, and I was just like, had a blank slate. And if you've coded websites before, you've been there, right? You just got to make sure that it's all working, everything's connected correctly, and then you can start doing the fun part. And I have worked with other people to build websites and consulted on some projects. And it's funny because to me, if I am excited about a project, I will picture that project pretty much like completely done. I'll have a very clear image in my head and then I'll work backwards from there. So I'll make the mockups, high fidelity mockups on Figma, and then I'll be able to code it pretty much exactly to what that final image looks like in my mind, without too much like iterations or back and forths. And because I have such a clear picture in my head, the branding and the colors and the logos come first. And so I often will design with that kind of thing in mind. So before I did any coding, any like full layouts, honestly, I created a logo, which is so backwards, right? I'm creating a logo for something that doesn't even exist yet. But to me, like the logo was going to help me like really visualize this brand. And the logo itself is a hibiscus, but a pixelated hibiscus. I made pixel art for this. And I use it for the favicon, and I use it for some of like the icons and the header. And I thought about using like just the hibiscus emoji, but I wanted it to look retro, right? And honestly, I don't think emojis were really around when the internet started. So what I found out was in 1999, Shigetaka Kurita was a Japanese artist that created the first set of emojis. And I'm looking at the picture. There are quite a few that still exist today, like the hearts, of course, the numbers. Like there's some weather icons in there, transportation, the card icons like heart, spade, club, diamond, thumbs up, okay. So just like some really basic ones, definitely nowhere near like what we have today, which at some point is pretty excessive. And then 2010, Unicode officially adopts emoji, adding hundreds more. So that's a big gap, right? Like 11 years before like we really see like the start of what we know today and the whole Unicode system for emojis. So yeah, like if I wanted my website to look like it was from the 90s, I would not be able to use the hibiscus emoji. I feel like this whole project is just like a bunch of tangents put together. But I have to go on another one. The reason I even chose hibiscus for the icon, the logo, is because I'm growing hibiscus on my patio and I've been obsessed with them. Like every day it's a new blossom, a new like beautiful flower. They're all like a little different with the color and the size, and they just are so tropical, escapist, and just make me feel like I'm on a tropical vacation, but I'm just on my patio outside. And that's kind of what the camera and the photography walks are supposed to do too, right? Like escape all the digital clutter, escape into nature, like just this idea of a digital escape. And the amount of times I listened to Escape the Pina Colada song while I was coding this website is at least in the double digits, right? Like anytime I sat down to start working on the project, I would just say, hey, Google, play Escape the Pina Colada song. And she would play it and we'd have a blast. I would play it like over and over on loop because I just felt like it was really embodying this idea of I want to like get away from how I've been working on the internet, how I've been interacting with the internet, and escape into like this old way of taking pictures and sharing them. Now I'll get more into like the design inspiration, but But really, a lot of it was just came from like this hibiscus idea. And then I was like, okay, hibiscus, beach, sunset. And then all of a sudden, like, there's these bright colors, like vivid blue, magenta, yellow. And the background, I hope you pull up the website after listening to this, but the background of the website is like a sunset that fades into an ocean. So I found some amazing gifts. I found a sunset one, the dolphin one, and between those two, I felt like the website was really coming together. And then this is where like it kind of breaks away from what a Gen Z thinks about the 90s, because let's be real, I don't really know what the 90s was like. So my like making the 90s website is just like an idea of an idea. Like, it's very like inspired by the 90s, but there's going to be elements that are not from that decade. And the main one is that I created a little iPod component on this website that could play this podcast on the website, directly embedded in the website. And that was really exciting and fun to try out, because I hadn't really worked with audio elements in any of my coding. And so like at first I was like, oh, like it's not going to actually play, it's just going to link out. But then I was like, no, wait, like if I use the WordPress API, it gives me a way to play the audio. So then I was really excited to make it so that this iPod could actually play my podcast right there embedded in the website. So that was another tangent in all of these tangents, because that had nothing to do with the camera, right? But I just got really wrapped up in that idea, and it turned out so cute. Honestly, like I'm trying to think of a way to embed it everywhere, because I love the way it turned out and it is adorable. And then, so finally, like we have the background, we have the iPod, which just gives it this really good like 2000s nostalgia, which I think is still appropriate for a camera from the early 2000s. Like, yes, I want to be in the indieverse in the 90s, but ultimately we're using technology from the early 2000s, and that's like my childhood, that's like what I grew up with. Growing up, I did not have a camera as cute as this, but my parents were very pro technology. So we had digicams for each of my siblings. They were brown. I didn't really like how it looked, but I did use it. I did take pictures with it. And then later we had these like flip video cameras, and I started like making vlogs and little fun videos with my friends. And then later, like, we got iPods, and I would like edit things on iMovie. So like very technology forward family. And I think that makes sense with how into technology I am now. And like, I love embracing new technologies. Although we know, if you're a fan, you know my back and forth with AI. So we won't get into that. But yeah, so again, like the 90s aesthetic kind of mixing in with the 2000s. Hibiscus were a big like theme in the early 2000s too. I'm as a kindergartner, I had this outfit that was yellow, and it was like a matching skirt and top. And I'm pretty sure it was like a hibiscus print. And I know like with early 2000s Y2K coming back, hibiscus, it's everywhere again. So it made a lot of sense is what I'm kind of getting to. Hibiscus and the beach theme and the 90s and the 2000s, it's all wrapping into one. And the final part of the website was recreating the back of the camera where it has the display as the way to display the photos, as if you, the user, are looking through my camera in real time and seeing the pictures that I took. And so, I mean, it's taken me almost like 30 minutes to explain this website, because that's how specific it is. And I could not have achieved any of that with WordPress. I love WordPress. I love my blog. But this vision I had on how to share the pictures I was taking could not have been accomplished on WordPress and very much could not have been accomplished on social media. And that was the biggest idea with this project, is I wanted to share the pictures, but I am so fucking over social media because it's not social and nobody posts really. I've checked in on Instagram. Like, I'm really an inactive user at this point. I think I posted once this year and it was a 6-month photo dump because I was like, I still am alive, by the way, people. And so I posted once this year, and I can catch up on my friend's feed in like a couple minutes. Nobody's posting. And that is with me scrolling past everything that I am not following, but they just insert into my feed, right? So I didn't want these photos to just be another piece of data that Instagram can profit off of. That wasn't the point of this project, and I wanted to protect it. So that's why I'm putting it on my blog and on the Instagram.com. So anyway, all of this to say, I'm scrolling through my notes. Yeah, I think it's high time now that I read the manifesto. And this is another tangent. So the reason I even have a manifesto on this website is because in the early 2000s, again, the Agile manifesto came out. And around the same time that I was building this website, I was also deeply in like implementing things that I learned from my Scrum Master training, which is deeply tied to the Agile manifesto. Let me get the exact date of the Agile manifesto. 2001. Yeah. And their website, I did not take inspiration directly from their website because it's ugly as fuck. But it's literally like, it's of the time. It's a product of the time. There are the classic blue hyperlinks. And then it's just plain text that says like the manifesto. And then the background is like a very grainy, pixelized picture, I'm assuming, of the people that made it. So like, that's what I was striving for, though, is like, it's a very static page. And I wanted my page to be like a little quirky, a little fun, but like, ultimately, it's like just a, it's just a website out there. So back to mine. I love how it turned out. And my manifesto goes as follows. There is a tension between making memories and recording them. Growing up chronically online means a lifelong struggle with loving and hating technology. Instagram is an example of what balance could be for those that enjoy sharing creations on the internet and learning from others who do the same. With Instagram, the three pillars are as follows. Photograph with intention. Celebrate the mundane, not just the highlights and picture perfect, and spend time outside away from the internet. This is my small rebellion from a decade of uploading my memories to Instagram. It is also an acknowledgement that if social media is no longer social, then why participate? Let socializing thrive in venues built to foster it, and let memories shine in digital and physical scrapbooks. If this resonates with you, go out and build your own Instagram escape. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it is an escape from the internet. It's an escape from this social media culture that we've created that at the same time has really destroyed a lot of internet culture. And yeah, like, I have little tabs. I have a whole tab about the Kodak Easy Share. Yeah, launched in 2008. And I really forgot like what happened with the Kodak brand, because I mean, for a while there, like, Polaroids were making a comeback. But I think it is technically, like, if you see Kodak products, it's just a licensed out product. It's not actually, like, the Kodak company making it. They just didn't pivot. They had invented digital camera technology back in, like, 1975. And then never really wanted to launch it because they knew it would completely destroy their model of business. And then by the time they needed to pivot, it was too late. So kind of a crazy story there. So you can read about Kodak and the camera I'm using. And then it also links out to my zines, my podcast, my blog, my GitHub, and then a little bit about me. And it's just like a fun little idea of what my blog could look like if it was a photography blog from 2008. That's basically the premise. And I've been having a lot of fun with it. And it makes taking walks fun. It makes the mundane fun. Again, like that's what the goal is just like Instagram means like you have to post something so like perfect and edited. And even with like a little bit of pushback now, like people are still creating these highly curated photo dumps where they're drawing little doodles on top of it. And it's like so much effort to make it look effortless. And I just didn't want that with these photos. I wanted it to just stay pure. And I do like straighten them a little bit. But with the resolution, there's not a lot of wiggle room for the editing. So you kind of get what you get once you snap the shot. And I love it. I've been loving it. And I hope you check out theinstagram.com. I hope you think about your relationship with Instagram and social media. And maybe make your own little indie website. It doesn't have to be as rigorous and rebellious as mine, where you're like building it from scratch on a Raspberry Pi computer. But if you want to take that project on, like there are lots of resources out there. yeah, I would just say like even check out like NeoCities. And I will say some last thoughts. As I was getting inspiration to build my website, I did look on NeoCities. It's kind of one of those sites that you can build your own website on, and it's very like indie-verse, people just making things. But a lot of them are not mobile accessible, which is weird, right? Because we're building these websites. We are trying to resonate and encapsulate that feeling of 90s nostalgia, which they weren't building for mobile at the time. But as somebody that like graduated with a computer science degree, took like multiple different courses for user experience, user design, I could not in good faith make a website that did not look good on mobile. And so that was probably what took me the longest, was just like getting these very detailed components, like the iPod Shuffle component, the camera gallery component, to work on mobile and to scale down as you scale down your browser. That was incredibly difficult, but it was important to me because a big pillar of creating on the internet is, to me, like creating it so it's accessible for everybody. And I'm by no means perfect. I do forget to put alt text on my images. But, you know, like, as long as you've got that intentionality and you're trying to do better, I think that's the main part. So if you're going to make your own website, I would still encourage you, try to make it mobile accessible and try to make it accessible in general. But yeah, like just think about it. Think about making your own thing. I've really been embodying this idea of create more than you consume. And if you've been watching the video, you might have seen behind me some colorful cards. I'm hoping I can talk about that in a future podcast episode, but I've just been really enjoying a like highly creative and productive. Productive is not even the right word because it's productivity, but it's fun and it's for my hobbies, and I'm not necessarily like monetizing it. I feel like productivity and monetization are often like tied together, but it's like productivity for myself. So it feels fun. And so I've just been enjoying like really embodying that idea of create more than you can consume. And with that, I'll leave it there. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, leave it a like, subscribe. I post biweekly on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And on my blog, angelageorge.com. And so yeah, I'll see you in the next one. Bye.